Okay, well, this is really just carrying on from where we left off. It will be a shorter session. We're having lunch at 12:15, which is a bit earlier than we'd thought. So we'll see how we get on. But one expression of love I just want to talk about for a few minutes is comfort. Because I think the Bible's big on comfort.
Yeah.
You know, I was really surprised when I did a study on it, how often the word comfort is used right throughout the Bible. You know, God is big on comfort. Why? Because he knows we need it. And why do we need it? Because we haven't had it. And comfort it's just one of those expressions of love that goes right to the core of our pain. It goes right to that area where we've been wounded. And God, through his love and his comfort, heals us. So, you know, pass the tissues round session.
Yeah.
Tissues available here.
Because comfort, you know, when we talk about comfort, it's really going to the core of where our hearts have been wounded. And it's a big thing on God's heart. And I think if it's a big thing on God's heart, it ought to be a big thing on our heart. And I've heard very, very few people speak on comfort. But I actually think that's what Jesus' life modelled. You know, when you think of the disciples, I mean, we haven't got a lot of time, but just think for a moment of Simon the Zealot. This guy is basically a terrorist.
Yeah, come on.
You know, he is working. He is anti-Roman. Everything about the Roman occupiers, the Zealots hated. Just a few years before Jesus was born, there was a whole village of Zealots that was crucified by the Roman soldiers. Because they were attacking the Roman authority. So, you know, this guy Simon would have grown up with that. And, you know, he's an angry young man. And then you've got Matthew, the tax collector. Well, who did Matthew work for? The Romans. You know, Jesus didn't make a mistake when he chose his disciples. And he spent 3 years with these guys. And it says in John's Gospel that if everything that Jesus did was written down, the world couldn't contain it. You know, books couldn't contain it. Well, I think, you know, Jesus spent a lot of time comforting his disciples. Because in 3 years, he turned these disparate band of 12 young men into the foundation of the church. So, you know, there must have been a lot of... You know, he must have had a lot of relational skills in getting, even just those two. You know, then you got James and John. Not this James and John, but, you know, the sons of thunder. You know, what does that tell you about their temper and their anger? And, you know, so Jesus, you know, Jesus spent a lot of time with these guys. And I just imagine him walking down the road, putting his arm around Simon the Zealot, saying, Matthew is your brother. You need to love him. And, you know, it's not a case of you must love him, but I'm going to help you love him because I'm going to heal your heart.
Come on.
And, you know, that's not written down, but that's the sort of thing that must have happened. Because there's a transformation in those 12 guys. They met a man who was perfect love. And they lived with him and worked with him for 3 years. And we know there was, you know, there must have been a lot of anger and bitterness in that group. And Jesus kind of just heals them and then releases them to plant the church, which gives us all hope because we're just like them. And, you know, comfort brings relief from affliction. It satisfies and strengthens us within. You know, when we are emotionally empty, we need comfort. When we are in shock, we need comfort. When we are alone or abandoned or in pain or sick or bereaved or broken or rejected, we need to experience comfort that goes beyond the pain we've received. If we don't receive comfort beyond the pain we've received, we're still left with pain. So when God the Father comforts us, he wants to give us more comfort than the pain we've experienced.
That's right.
Brilliant. So that we're healed and whole. You know, every trauma that we've been through, whether it's big or small, has to be met with a greater level of comfort. Because that's what will bring wholeness and healing to our lives.
Yes.
In Ecclesiastes, in chapter 4, it says this: "Again I saw all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they had no one to comfort them. On the side of their oppressors there was power, and there was no one to comfort them. And I thought the dead, who were already dead, were more fortunate than the living, who are still alive." That's powerful. That's powerful. I mean, what the writer is saying there is, if we are not comforted, we're in such a desperate state, we're almost better off dead. Yeah, he says, "I thought the dead who were already dead were more fortunate than living comfortless." That's how big it is on God's heart. That if we're not comforted, it's like, you know, we're just oppressed by these strong, powerful forces that come against us all the time. And, you know, the writer says, you know, that's not a very pleasant state to live in. That's not a very pleasant way to live our lives. And sadly, many of us live our lives like that. And the writer says, well, you're almost better off dead. Yeah, it's a shocking statement. But that's how important and how powerful God sees comfort as being. King David knew what comfort was. Psalm 131, he says, "O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvellous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." That's a picture of comfort and satisfaction. "Let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise." Psalm 119:76. "Let your steadfast love comfort me." Love always comforts. Love always comforts. You know, what was King David's background? What had he been through that he got to a place where he could, where he experienced so much comfort? You know, when Samuel came to Jesse's house to choose the next king, he says, "Get your boys in." So Jesse lines up the boys, and Samuel goes down them and says, "No, it's not this one, it's not this one, it's not this one." He gets to the end and he says, "Well, I know it's one of them. Are you sure you haven't got another one?" You know, what did David feel like? What did he feel like? He'd been abandoned, left out of this big, important family gathering. Left out with the sheep. And then Samuel says, "Well, bring him in." And he comes in and Samuel says, "This is the one." You know, David writes, "Though my mother and father forsake me, you will not forsake me." You know, some people think that maybe David was an illegitimate child. And we don't know. It's not written clearly for us, but there's indications that maybe that was the case. And it's like, you know, he experienced rejection. But he also experienced the love of the Father. It says of David that Jesus was the son of David. It's like there was something in David's heart that was also in Jesus' heart, in a much greater way, of course. And one of the things that was in David's heart was he'd come to know his Heavenly Father. Through whatever pain or rejection or abandonment he'd been through, he was able to say, I know that God's love comforts me. You know, even in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even when we're going through a difficult time, even when we're going through a difficult season, even when everything is horrible all around us, and sometimes it's pretty horrible, isn't it? Sometimes we go through stuff that we'd rather not go through. Sometimes it's our own fault we go through stuff, but we still wouldn't want to go. But the Father promises to be there with us, to comfort us. When we're walking through difficult situations, he's there to comfort us. He's not there necessarily there to instruct us. If you hadn't done this, if you hadn't done that, if you hadn't done the other, he's there to comfort. The other week, a couple of weeks ago, my mum went to visit my younger sister, and she was just ringing the doorbell of my sister's flat, and my sister was going out. She didn't know my mum was coming to visit her, and my sister was going out to see a friend, and she was in a bit of a rush, and she pushed the door open really suddenly to, you know, just in her rush to get out of the flat. And she knocked my mum and her mum flying, so much so that my mum ended up breaking her hip and, you know, having to go in and have a hip replacement. Only the second one in 6 months, but she's had both of them done now. But, you know, my sister felt awful. You know, you would, wouldn't you? And, you know, my mum was really good. I mean, she was in absolute agony. And she said to my sister, it's not your fault. She just reached out her arm. She was, you know, in the hospital. She reached out an arm, took hold of my sister, said, it's not your fault. It was an accident. And it was. It was everything coming together at the wrong time. And, you know, my poor sister, you know, she just felt so bad. And one of my other sisters and I, we went to see her. We gave her a big hug and we said, it's not your fault. And there were a whole load of things my sister came out, but if I hadn't done this, or if I had done this, or if I'd done, you know, she was coming out with all this list of the ifs. And I said, but, you know, that's life. The ifs happen. And we said, it's not your fault. And we just put our arms around her and wanted her to experience comfort. And we put our arms around our mum so she could experience comfort too. You know, even in the difficult times, even when things are tough, God our Father wants to comfort us because he is a God of all comfort. I just want to end with a few verses from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You know, comfort is a big thing in God's heart. But many of us have lived our lives not being comforted. And I think comfort is one of the biggest aspects of what we've been talking about this morning. You know, the expression of the mother heart of our Heavenly Father. It's a beautiful picture of the feminine nurture and gentleness. And it can be expressed through men as well as women. And it should be expressed through men as well as women. But many of us have not been comforted. You know, maybe as children we weren't comforted when things went wrong at school. Maybe we weren't comforted when, you know, we had heartaches as teenagers. Maybe we weren't comforted when relationships went wrong, or jobs went bad, or financial problems came. But 2 Corinthians says that God is the God of all comfort. All comfort. He is the God of all comfort.
Yeah.
All comfort. Not just a bit of comfort, but all comfort. And he wants us to receive comfort first and foremost so that we know that our hearts are healed and whole.
Yeah, come on.
So that we can become that container for love. So he wants to comfort us for our own sake. But he also wants to comfort us so that we may comfort other people with the comfort with which we have received ourselves.
Yes.
We're not manufacturing anything. As we comfort people, we're giving them God the Father's comfort.
Yeah.
That's what Paul writes there, is that we comfort other people with the comfort which we ourselves have received. Mm-hmm. And so comfort is, it's kind of for us, but it's kind of for us to minister to other people. And God's so gracious, he doesn't wait till we're completely whole and healed before he lets us comfort other people. You know, both of them go in tandem together. And John's just going to come and sing over us for a few minutes. And while he's doing that, I'm just going to ask the ministry team to be available. And what we're going to do, there's not a lot of room. We're not going to do it out the front. We're going to do it, you know, wherever we do it, really, down the aisle, at the back, or whatever. But if you know that you need to receive what I call a mother's embrace, you know, an embrace from one of the team who can just say, Father, will you comfort your son? Or will you comfort your daughter? We don't have to pray long prayers. We just say, Father, will you pour your comfort in? Will you pour your tenderness in? And we just want to be available. That if you want that embrace of love, it's not from it. Well, yes, it is from us, but it's our Heavenly Father loving you through us. So the ministry team will be available just wherever. And if you want that, just go to them and just say, I need to receive comfort, or I need to receive nurture, or I need to be welcomed home. And the team will just pray a short prayer. Because I believe we receive it in faith. And if we say, Father, I want it, he'll do it. It's not about what we feel, it's about what he does. So John, do you want to come and sing?